The Chattanooga Coalition Against Human Trafficking invites the community to Unite, Wear White, a free event on National Human Trafficking Awareness Day, Friday, January 10th. The event takes place at the Chattanooga Choo Choo Imperial Ballroom from 9 a.m. until about noon. Here's more details. Jerry Redmond from Second Life of Chattanooga invites everyone to wear white this Friday in support of victims of human trafficking. Jerry, how is your organization involved with the Chattanooga Coalition Against Human Trafficking?
I'm part of an organization called Second Life of Chattanooga. We exist specifically to create awareness, advocacy, and collaborative action about the issue of sex trafficking in the city and in the region. And we were co-founders of the coalition back in 2010. Partnership for Families, Children, and Adults co-founded the coalition with us.
Part of the efforts of the coalition and of Second Life is not just locating, identifying people who may be victims of human trafficking, but also helping them come back to a regular life.
Awareness is the entry point for everyone concerning this issue, and so it's important that we are aware. It is important that we advocate. It is important that we collaborate community-wise, but at the end of the day, you're serving the survivors. And a survivor coming out of this, and when you talk about what they need, it's really everything. It's mental health and medical services. It's educational services, life skills, job training, quite often legal needs. Even from time to time, you're going to need addiction counseling. So you're talking about really everything that we have here available in terms of social services in Chattanooga. You tap in some way to help that survivor move on with their life.
Now, when we're talking about human trafficking, the predominant topic is prostitution. Women who are either forced into prostitution, perhaps kidnapped and brought across state lines and made into prostitutes, or maybe even coerced into services by a friend or family member.
The Department of Justice guidelines for what constitutes trafficking are the use of either force, fraud, or coercion that induces someone to commit a commercial sex act. Now, if you have a minor involved, the person who induces that minor to commit that commercial sex act, even if the minor says they are doing so willingly, you still have trafficking because the minor doesn't have the legal right to make that decision to engage in commercial sex. But if we're talking about adults, any of the three, force, fraud, or coercion being present, constitutes trafficking. Traditionally, we have not looked at prostitution as something where people were forced into. Most people have the misconception that prostitutes choose this life. As a society, we should ask ourselves, even if they're not forced into it, what causes a person to come to a place where that's the only choice they have? But quite often, you do find people in the prostitution community who have been forced into this, whether it's at street level or through escort services. I repeat what State Representative Eric Watson says quite often. He takes his cell phone out and his smartphone and says, you know, in just a matter of minutes, I can have a sexual transaction underway just through the use of this smartphone. But I don't have a way of knowing whether the person that is providing that service is doing so willingly, nor can I guarantee that they're doing so of age.
When you find someone who is trapped in a situation, it's very difficult for them to reach out for help.
Yes, you're talking, first of all, about both physical and psychological abuse. They are living under extreme threat of harm to themselves or those whom they love. Unfortunately, quite often people, most often, are trafficked by someone that they know, that they have at least some prior relationship with. Although there are stories of kidnapping and being lured by someone that they didn't know previously, most often the case of trafficking involves someone that they have a prior relationship with. And over time, this person is broken down, beaten down, literally, quite often, so that they come to a point where they don't believe they have any value, and they're convinced that the only safety that they have in life is within the construct that the trafficker has created. They're coached that all law enforcement is going to do is lock them up. They're coached that they'll take all of the legal blame for this. And especially here in Tennessee, we've turned the tide of that. We have many new statutes in place that are victim-centric in terms of providing service and help for the victim. But even with that, it's hard to bridge that gap to help them understand that what's being offered to them is, in fact, help and hope and safety.
Let's build a scenario where either someone has contacted your crisis hotline or in some way contacted either Second Life or the partnership and said, I want out. What happens next?
Depending on whether the person is of age or a minor, if they're a minor, then certain governmental agencies, DCS and so on, law enforcement are going to immediately be called, and they would take the immediate lead on that. Now, social service agencies and providers would most likely be reached out to by those agencies, but DCS law enforcement would have the lead on that. If you're talking about an adult, you have to get their permission in order to involve law enforcement, and unfortunately, sometimes they don't want to. We do everything we can to help them understand it's to their advantage to involve law enforcement, but if they don't, then we will try to proceed as best we can in, first of all, finding them a safe place to stay on a short-term basis. It's tough to move this person into a long-term recovery facility in the beginning. You almost need sort of a triage approach to things initially to help them get a little calm, a little cooled out, and sort of get their bearings. And then, of course, what you're going to try to get them to agree to is some immediate medical care, whatever counseling that you can offer them immediately, while you strategize with them what longer-term solution is going to look like.
How many people in Chattanooga have been rescued from a life of commercial sex that they didn't want through your organization?
We, over the almost 7 years that we have been in existence, we've been able to assist several individuals, mostly adults. We have been involved in some cases involving minors, but mostly adults, where you saw trafficking expressed in any number of ways, some within an immigrant community, some people being trafficked by family members, some who had been lured into a scam that took them across state lines, and we were able to help them get clear and free and actually home. Sometimes you're able to help someone, and then for whatever reason, the trauma that they've endured or whatnot, they're going to disappear on you. You know, you can't hold these people. So it is hard to track the total number of people that you can take from start to finish. But over a 7-year period, we have been able to help several folks. Even though direct victim services is not a primary focus of ours, we are moving more and more into that place.
You network with other agencies and organizations,
yes,
around town to help them find the services they need. You don't necessarily supply them yourselves.
Yeah, and you know, no one agency can. Or we say no one agency should, because this is a real holistic 360-degree need. And just from a monetary resource standpoint, I don't know of any agency that can offer everything that a trafficking survivor would need. And one of the great things about Chattanooga is we are a very networked kind of town, very collaborative. And that's one of the great things about the coalition from its very beginning is, what does our organization bring to the table? What does your organization bring to the table? And let's leverage those resources so that everybody can have a stake and a place in this work. We're very fortunate here with the way the coalition works together, because it's a lot of different organizations, a lot of different agencies, and then just a lot of individuals, concerned citizens, that have specific things they can do. We had a reach out from someone that offers art therapy, and we're accessing that going forward in 2014.
Part of the way that you get help from other people in the community and fundraising and such is through your Awareness Day, the National Human Trafficking Awareness Day, which is coming up on January 10th. And the Chattanooga Choo Choo's Imperial Ballroom is the place to go.
This will be our third annual, what we call Unite, Wear White. The National Day's symbol is asking everyone to wear white as a sign of hope concerning this issue, solidarity with the victims. And so we'll gather at the Choo Choo's Imperial Ballroom that morning. Doors open at 9. There'll be a lot of exhibits that people can look at. The program begins at 9:45. Our keynote speaker is going to be Ed Stanton. Ed is the United States Attorney for West Tennessee, and his office is one of the leading offices in the country concerning trafficking prosecutions. He's really highly focused on this issue. They've had a lot of success in Memphis and the West Tennessee area. So we're looking forward to what he has to share with us that could strengthen the work that we're doing here. That particular morning, you're going to see a huge cross-section between governmental agencies, non-governmental agencies, lots of nonprofits like ours, associations like the Coalition, and a lot of individuals, faith-based groups that have come together to say, you know, we are united in this work because it does take all of us. It's a great entry point for someone that they don't really know much about this issue. They don't know maybe how they could connect to it. This would be a great place for them to come. It's a free event. Be a great place for youth to be brought and learn about how they could connect to this issue. And we have a joint proclamation from both mayor's offices concerning the day. It's a day of education. It's a day of awareness. But in spite of the darkness of the issue, it's also a day of celebration about the work that we do have going here and what's unfolding into the new year for us. If you need more information on the event, you can go to our website, secondlifechattanooga.org, or you can email us at contact@secondlifechattanooga.org. We'll be happy to answer any questions that you have there. But again, free event, doors open at 9, program at 9:45. Not going to be a long event. Everybody will be walking out about 11:15, 11:30, and let's pack out the Imperial Ballroom that morning.
For WUTC's Around and About, this is Rabbit.